Welcome, everyone. I want to call the February 8th, 2016 regular meeting to order. Mr. Ellis, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mrs. Mulk, roll call, please.
Mr. Bochinski?
Here.
Mr. Buckle?
Here.
Mrs. Clark?
Here.
Mr. Alger?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Escalante?
Here.
Mrs. Nelson?
Here. Thank you. Superintendent's report.
Yeah.
All right. Just two quick things. First, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention what a beautiful evening last night was. It was a lovely orange and blue night. All right.
I missed that.
You missed that? You missed that?
You only owe me $100 now.
Had to. Exactly. All right. Just two brief pieces. Our parent-teacher advisory committee, our co-chair sent me just a brief update. Our co-chairs are Jill Amrine, Jeff Burke, Megan Casora, Michelle Gallo. There are co-chairs for the PTAC and the bullying work group. So last year, if you remember, they had three recommendations for us. First recommendation was to implement a universal anti-bullying curriculum within each building. So they've implemented Expect Respect. That's the name of the universal anti-bullying curriculum within each of the buildings. Staff has been trained on how to implement it, how to use it. At the junior high and eighth grade student leadership group was also trained as ambassadors of the curriculum. And the 8th grade level counselors are creating follow-up plans for the ambassadors. Recommendation number two was to reconvene the committee work in the fall of 2015 and align the discipline matrix to the board policies. But due to the passage of what's best known as Senate Bill 100, the discipline bill, this recommendation has been tabled until it's been revised. The PTAC co-chairs participated and three legal conferences around those topics, in addition to administrators' webinar pertaining to all the changes with the school discipline laws for the 2016-17 school year. So those are all for next year. But they're really working hard to ensure that we're meeting that Senate Bill 100, which is now an act. And then recommendation number three, strengthen the PBIS Tier 1 committees at each of the buildings and explore the establishment of a district-level PBIS committee. What they're working on right now is a district-level PBIS committee has been formed and meets quarterly. Members include the Director of Student Services, District Behavior Specialists, Building Assistant Principals, and Building School Social Workers and Psychologists. The committee has worked on district-wide systems within the Tier 1 and Tier 2 levels. So they're continuing to work. If you remember from a year ago and in past years with this PTAC group, they really came together in the late spring and did their work based off of recommendations. They've taken this work on throughout the entire year because it's so involved, and especially with the new laws around the student discipline. So they move that forward. Pleased with their work, and they'll keep updating us as we go through on that. Any questions on that PTAC?
No, I had pulled out the report they gave us from last June. So are they going to come back and to do that again?
Yeah, they'll come back to the board. Like I said, late spring. Just want a quick feedback from the board. At our next board meeting, we have the academic update. But per the discussion at the last board meeting regarding shortening the length of meetings, I need to see if there's any interest in moving that to a special night. I would recommend that we don't. Currently, it's a decent agenda right now. It's the big topic of the evening. On February 22nd, we also have student fees in the calendar to discuss. So, but I wanted to make sure the board weighed in on this because they said if there was a big meaty issue, you may want to move it on. Felt like it was best just handled right here and now. And I think if we allocate somewhere in that, 45 minute to an hour and 15 for that academic update, I think we should still have a be out in a timely manner, mm-hmm. considering the other two topics.
If we keep it, I would say if you keep it down to that and don't let other things get in there, that will be
Other things on the agenda, you mean?
Yeah.
I was thinking like an hour and like realistically an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
Is it still premature to have the fee conversation? I mean, if we're still having these revenue projection conversations.
We can push that off.
Again, I think.
Yeah, I think we're comfortable pushing. I've got an eyeball. I got a March.
No further than March, you said?
No further.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So maybe move to the first meeting in March.
Well, we have
a
lot.
That's the other problem. Yeah, that's the school perception. So.
Paul, are you presenting the academic
update? Karen will be.
Okay. And.
Could we have them?
Oh, you'll definitely have it.
No. I was going to say, could we have the? I mean, because I think we have a lot in March too. Could we have it on the next agenda? And
that's fine.
I'm thinking, after the presentation, if the meeting's gone long.
If we need, we'll bump it.
Yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's
how
fair.
How long do you think it's going to take?
Bump it.
I'm hopeful the whole thing is an hour and 15 minutes. The academic piece, not the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the presentation. So it's an hour and 15 minutes presentation.
With conversation.
Questions.
I'm hopeful an hour.
You said 45 minutes?
We can make this.
I'm sorry.
I'm
talking about how long that's going to be.
You said 45 minute presentation, overall an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Does that work?
Yeah.
All right. That was it for mine.
Okay, great. We have board reports. I know that there were a couple that Nancy, thank you for putting them on the board book. Joe, you had one that we saw.
Yeah, mine was a non-board report. Going to the Lincoln PTA Science Night last Thursday. It was very well attended. There were students, there were parents, PTA parents and teachers doing the scientific experiments with many, many Lincoln students. It's been since my children have been in school, it's been there. It's a tradition much longer. It's really well attended, and they're making lava, and they're making volcanoes erupt, and it was really good energy, and it's one of them. And camping with the drops of fun that everybody likes to do.
Right.
That was the one update I had.
Good. Any other board reports?
I have one for the coffee with the board. Mm-hmm. We did just on Saturday. It was my first one that I was doing. Patrick, I think you've done these before. So we had 7 people show up, 6 of which stayed the whole time. Actually, we ended up going longer. What was interesting was we sat at a table and people had things they wanted to talk about, but then they stayed when other people were talking and it became a big group discussion. So there were items that I've put in here that were brought up as topics that we had discussions about. The one thing I would like to say is that sometime during it, a gentleman who was there asked, his name is Pat McFearing, he asked how we paid for this, did the district pay for it? And I said, no, we actually decided as board members that we would pay for it ourselves when we did it. And he excused himself from the meeting 5 or 10 minutes before everybody else, and when we went to pay the bill, we found out he had paid the bill. So thank you to him for picking up the bill for district.
So he
picked it up and it was very nice. So that's
good. All right. Thank you very much. Other board reports?
I didn't have an official report because I didn't have any official meetings that I have actually had in the past 2 weeks. But mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention that I went to the Hadley Jazz Band concert last week, which was pretty impressive. And I saw somewhere that there's like 100. I think they have over 100 members in the jazz band.
Yeah, that's what they said.
They got all the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders up there on stage. So they did a great job. And that's a program that it's kids that are enrolled in band, but to do jazz band is an after-school activity. Mm-hmm. So they commit their time after school one day a week for the year to do jazz band. So it's pretty impressive that that many kids, they love those directors there and that program that do that.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. Ditto to Stephanie. I was able to get over to that, and it was an amazing night. Lots of fun. You could tell they have a lot of fun with it, and that's part of our supplemental pay discussion too. So that's built in there. I just have a brief report on calendar committee. We met on February 2nd. We reviewed a draft of the 2017-18 calendar. Discussion included our institute days, SIP days scheduled, and scheduled apart so that there's teacher professional development application in between them. Certainly, our calendar, because of the overlap with so many Glenbard West families, is driven by the Glenbard West calendar and their scheduled breaks. Our next meeting is on the 17th. There were several things we talked about, some of which was a suggestion to do a draft. There's always a discussion about doing a two-year calendar. I'll tell you that Glenbard West is coming back to the table with their calendar to be talking about the next year and some potential changes. So we're kind of waiting for that. And then also we're going to present as a calendar committee to make a recommendation that actually has been brought, suggested for the winter break to do a midweek. And I know that had come up. So Glenbard West doesn't do that. We are matching that calendar. But we're going to put it on the table and present it to them. And the last thing we talked about was a skeleton calendar for us, which is to layer in the knowns and be able to at least have that up for people like a spring break, like, you know, winter break, et cetera. And, you know, our regional office of education required institute days, those kind of things, so that people know, you know, essentially what those are. So our next meeting is on February 17th, and we'll be bringing the calendar to the board on February 22nd to look at it, to have, and then the plan is to take action before spring break. That's that.
And the committee, Erica, I know you had some emails from that. Committee is selected by the rector board.
It's a superintendent committee.
Except
correct.
The GIA rep is selected by the
GIA members.
GIA members, correct.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and thank you, and thanks to Stephanie for some questions. We went back and forth with some. So, again, next meeting is on the 17th, which is next week. Next week. So, we'll keep you posted. All right. And no other reports? All right. Thank you. I want to apologize. I'm not feeling 100%, so, Drew?
Could be
just
going.
A little FYI.
Okay.
But I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight in person or watching the meeting on our live stream. This is the first meeting with a new start time of 7 p.m., so welcome and thank you for being here on time. The board agreed at the last meeting to move the start time to 7 o'clock, kind of better monitor our board norms, manage the length of our business meetings, and move, as you saw today, board reports up to the beginning of the meeting, which I think is a good move. I'd like to remind board and community members we are representative of District 41 and the wider Glen Ellyn community. Speakers for public participation should identify themselves, complete a public participation form, which are in the entryway as you walk in. Identify themselves, complete a form, and limit comments to 3 minutes or less. If your comments have substantially been reflected in others, we would ask, in the interest of time, that you please forego making them and provide the board with any written copies of material that you may have. Thank you for doing that. All personal complaints and criticism about staff members, students, or other members of the District 41 community should be initiated privately with the appropriate district representative. Profanity, interruption, and or other interference with the orderly conduct of the meeting are not prohibited. All questions raised will be forwarded to the appropriate District 41 staff representative for a response if a response is warranted. Mrs. Moak, is there anyone present who would like to address the board?
Jeff
Cooper. Right, Mr. Cooper. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for coming up here. And just a reminder also for board members, too, so our voices don't get lost, because I've had some feedback that on the live stream sometimes you can't hear us, so if we could speak up, Joe. In particular, that low, sultry voice. Yes, that sultry voice of yours. Thank you, Jeff. Go ahead.
This might be really quick. I just wanted to reiterate the first thing I said in the last meeting. I just wanted to find out, since obviously we didn't talk about cell phone stipend during the first meeting, when will that be brought up?
I have it under other.
Other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else, Ms. Smoak?
Jennifer Rapp.
Thank you.
Hi, I just have some concerns about sixth grade math for next year. The instruction is going to be cut. Right now it's double period, mandatory for sixth graders. And right now the plan is for next year just to be one period mandatory and one period optional for extension. And I emailed you, Dr. Gordon, about this. I was just wondering what the new curriculum will entail, because if the teachers are used to having your same group of kids for essentially 90 minutes a day, and next year they're not going to have that same group for the whole 90 minutes, how is that going to affect the instruction and the curriculum for sixth grade math? I'm also wondering, and this might be a better question for Mrs. Carlson, why gifted math is available for our elementary schools, but once you hit the middle school, it becomes an accelerated math program. But in the middle school, they do have a gifted literacy program, but there's really no gifted literacy at the elementary school available any longer. It was a few years ago. I know surrounding districts are beefing up their enrichment and gifted programs, so I was just wondering how our curriculum is changing to keep up with the surrounding districts and what the teachers are going to be doing with the math curriculum next year now that their instructional time is cut.
Thank you. Thanks, Jennifer. Mrs. Milk? All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Presentations, reports, and initiatives.
First out of the gate, we've got Dave and Jack with our update on our Churchill work. And Dave will kick us off. Welcome, Jack.
Hello, everybody. Since our last update, we've had quite a bit of progress at Churchill. We are actually in the home stretch. We're hoping to finish up construction end of February here, early beginning of March, barring any shortfalls here, but interior's all been painted, drop ceilings, they're doing low voltage wiring, flooring will begin soon, cabinetry is going to be delivered next week, all the wood doors and hardware are also scheduled for delivery next week, and then some interior glass will just be installed and some openings, some touch up, and we get to clean and wax.
So that's the building portion. Right? So that's the inside stuff. So the building will be ready for occupancy when they're ready to move. You can move in March and put it to full use. And then there, as the weather breaks, there's still a fair amount of work to do outside to get the site back to where it needs to be. There's playground work to be done. And then in the original budget and still in the existing budget are monies to do reconstruction, restoration of site work that was not quantifiable in the original bid packages. So we're working with Dave and the team to put together a bid package so that we do our final bid package for parking lot, basically, and any other site restoration, demolition of the final mobiles, at the elementary school level, and then various site work associated with those. So that's coming together, and we'll be coming back to the board to recommend those awards. And then that would be the final, that with the final site work that's already part of the project will wrap everything up the Churchill. So that work will probably go into the summer to finish the site work, do the parking, wait the schools out, all of that stuff. And then that part of the project is done.
Jack, I might have missed this, but did you say that the plans to move in March then?
Yeah, we're shooting for somewhere around maybe the 12th.
That's great. Yeah.
So are we going to actually move classrooms?
Yeah.
I know you did one of them, like did a weekend.
That part goes pretty quick, but we still, after they're done with construction, they're still, everything has to get cleaned up, and then it takes about 4 to 5 coats of wax on all the vinyl flooring, and there's quite a bit of hallways and classrooms, so that'll keep us busy for a few days.
And technology
has to set up all the equipment. All that stuff. The teacher move stuff is pretty simple. We'll supply the boxes and manpower, get everything in the rooms.
Good. Thank you. It's exciting.
Okay. Yeah, that's exciting.
Exciting, yeah. Jack, I got a quick question. When we started this whole thing, you did us a presentation that this is why you're the best guy, and blah, 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 and these core teachers.
You want that same presentation?
It's an easy question.
I agree.
As we start wrapping this up, does FQC do a, hey, this is the things that went really well in your project, if you decide to do something large again, maybe you should take this into consideration, you know, learning tools for us.
Like a lessons learned.
Yeah. Like a PIR, like a post-implementation review, yeah.
We do that internally. Actually, we do both a project kickoff and a project debrief internally. Mm-hmm. I'd be glad to take that kind of to the next level and do a formal presentation to the board at some point, maybe over the summer or as you start into the school year next year?
Maybe if not a presentation, at least a deck so we could
hand it off to the facilities committee.
And let them know that.
Give you some facts, this is what was accomplished. Yeah, absolutely. If you'd like to.
Be helpful, I think, for our new assistant superintendent for finance and facilities, too, to see that.
Because we started at one level of expectation and it kind of got reset at one point.
Yeah.
And then there were some things changed at the board level as far as schedule, and that reset some things. So it'd be good to go back and kind of, you know, capture all of
it. Take a deep breath. Yeah. Give it a couple weeks when you're done.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. I think that would be great.
Yeah. Jack,
for free,
thank you.
Jen. Right. At this point, Kurt, you know,
I'll just say
yes.
Put the bow on the package.
If there's a fee involved,
then we're okay. Then you should move along.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, gentlemen.
So actually, we lost money on this job because we saved you $1.2 million, and we lost our, you know. So thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Have a good evening.
Okay.
PTA Executive Council report. Margaret, I believe you're...
I am.
All right.
Margaret, too, what they've been doing is also introducing their role on the council.
Okay. I'm Margaret Emick, and I'm Vice President of the Council for this year. So I'm just going to give a few of the highlights of the discussion topics we went through today. So the first one is PBLs came up, and what is the role of the PTA to find parent volunteers for schools doing PBL? So this was brought up by one of the schools, and sort of the discussion went round and round and ended up with PBL should be a partnership between the PTAs and the schools, and Dr. Gordon would go back and talk to the principals about it. That's one. The next one was issue of local businesses and them wanting to communicate through our PTAs, advertise through our PTAs, or sponsor PTAs, and what schools felt about that. And this is definitely not a new issue. It's gone on for years. Schools shared their experiences, mostly to say don't engage in it. But there was the old president, the UC President Lincoln, has done a lot of research on this, and she was going to provide further information. So it is a discussion going around again with the current presidents of the schools, and should they engage with local businesses.
To fundraising?
No, not necessarily. More like it could be they'll approach you and say, hey, you know, if you do this with us, we'll kick back 10% to your PTA. Send out flyers about our insurance business or whatever. All kinds of things come up because we have good mailing lists to send out information. So, yeah. Then another issue that has come up multiple times over the months, which I would have to say is one of our bigger issues, is the food policy in the schools. So that has definitely been going round and round and is very sensitive and very important, and people are very passionate. Even members of the PTA Council, who have very personal experiences with it, are very passionate. So the overall is that, you know, we're moving to a safe and healthy policy, and there is a draft out there. I'll even bring up, Forrest Glenn brought up that they have parents at their school that blatantly disregard the policies and don't follow them, and so that causes problems, and what does the PTA do? And then they are showing resistance to the current draft policy. So we talked to, you know, Dr. Gordon was getting feedback from us about, well, what, you know, what can we be saying? And, you know, we're saying safe and healthy, and even the PTA Council said, well, maybe not safe and healthy, just safe. Just promote it as safe, and that will hopefully get more people to buy in, but it's going to be a long road. So I know the PTA Council is definitely behind where this is going, but it's not easy. Have the activity night was a huge success that happened, I think, last week or the week before. 6th to 8th graders, hundreds attended, which is very new for to have the activity night, so that was a big success. Teresa Shea came in and talked to us about an upcoming parent camp, a new idea that's going to go on April 30th at Hadley, and it's really going to be, it's an unconference, and it's a free and open discussion for parents to come in and talk about topics. More of a getting to know people, connecting parents to each other. No, it's not going elsewhere. It's not an agenda that's going to lead on to future things, but just a place for parents to connect. So April 30th.
Did you say that would be at Hadley or all the schools?
It's going to be at Hadley, but it's open to the whole community.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
The schools and the larger
community. And the larger community, yes. She was just talking to the PTAs for the first time about it.
Okay.
The PTA presidents would like to publish the agendas of what goes on the SIP days. So they think parents are interested to know what the teachers are doing during the in-service parts of the SIP days, so we're working to make that happen. And then, on a positive note, one of the members, and I don't want to embarrass anyone here, one of the members of our PTA council brought up that the Hadley office is a really great place to go and that the whole atmosphere now has really improved there, and a lot of that has to do with calling
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
Margaret, thank you. Next up, we have an update from Mike on the technology.
We are hitting the end of a three-year cycle at the grade schools with our technology, mostly for student devices and teacher devices. So I'm going to talk a little bit about plans for the summer as well as plans for the upcoming future. So we'll start with what we currently have in place. And grades 4th grade through 8th grade, we have a one-to-one in place. So with the grade schools, we still have laptops that were purchased 2.5 years ago, so that's part of the cycle that's coming to an end. What we have at the grade schools right now. At the junior high at Hadley, we're a full one-to-one using Chromebooks. We began that year before this with kind of a blend of Chromebooks and some of the old laptops that were coming off lease. But this year it's a full one-to-one with Chromebooks at the junior high. Second grade and third grade currently have 10 laptops and 3 iPads, so a blend. And then first grade, 8 laptops and 6 iPads. And in kindergarten, we have 6 laptops and 6 iPads. So kind of a blend at the younger grade levels. All of that equipment at the elementaries, like I say, is coming off lease this year. The Hadley LMCs also currently have 38 laptops that are provided for them. Those are also coming off lease. As well as the Hadley LMC, believe it or not, it's going to be 3 years since we did the remodel there. And 100 iPad minis that are going to be coming off lease there as well. So again, these are the equipment that is coming off lease. This is part of the cycle that we have in place. So currently it's 1,800 laptops that we have that are throughout the grade schools. There's 270 total iPads that we have, not just in the library at Hadley, but also those iPads we saw at the younger grade levels at the grade schools. Plus we also have 430 Chromebooks coming off lease, and those are the exiting 8th graders from Hadley. So as they finish their time at Hadley, so will those Chromebooks. So those will come off lease. And as the case with most of the leasing equipment that's on a 3-year lease, they'll come off lease and then go back to the leasing company at the end of that lease. We also have some longer term leases, the 72 smart boards. That was done in 2 phases. So this is going to be the first phase coming off lease, as well as 160 desktops that will be coming off lease. So the total amount in annual leases that we're going to see coming off is what we have at the bottom here, $537,745.14. So those are all coming off lease, and that's the number I just verified with the leasing agent, so our numbers match, and that we know will be coming off this year. One of the things we did in preparation for this ending cycle is we did a couple pilots. So first at Franklin, we took the laptops, the one-to-one laptops that we had at Franklin for the level 3s, and we reallocated those to the teachers at Franklin and Hadley. So the teachers at both of those buildings have been using laptops with a docking station to connect to all of their AV equipment, exactly like we have set up here in the boardroom. And we took their laptops, gave them to the teachers, and then we replaced their laptops with Chromebooks at level 3 at Franklin. So they've been using those all year. And I did a check-in with the level 3 teachers just before the holiday break, just to see how things were going, not just with their laptops, but also the Chromebooks. And feedback was overwhelmingly positive. They seemed pretty happy using the Chromebooks with the students. They were able to still be able to do all the work they've been doing. And they were satisfied with the laptops. There were some things that they wanted to see upgraded when we go to replace those this year. So certain things they like would like would be a little larger display, a full keyboard with a number key, a 10-key punch, integrated optical drive or DVD drive, So these are all things that we took into account when we started looking at models for replacement for this coming year. Also did a survey of the kindergarten and first grade teachers to see how many devices they felt like they needed. It's a little different environment at the younger grade levels, and how many they would need. And for the most part, it came back that most of them would like prefer to have a one-to-one, but more of a blended model, so maybe a mix of Chromebooks and iPads between them. So that's something else we're going to take into account as we look at replacing this equipment.
Mike, just to verify this, that was the information that you had sent, or Paul had sent us in our update.
Correct.
You had given us that data.
Well, yeah. That was just a Google form I had
yeah.
sent out.
No, it was helpful.
And just to collect some baseline data from those devices. So these are the devices that we kind of landed on as far as replacement for the elementaries. The 2,400 Chromebooks that we would bring into place not only includes the elementary schools, but would also include tablets. Because we're going to have sixth graders coming in, so we'll need another batch of Chromebooks to replace those 430 that are going out for the eighth graders. But then about 200 Chromebooks, or 2,000 Chromebooks rather, for the elementary students, and that's throughout the district. Also looked at replacing all the teacher workstations with mobile devices and with laptops. And that would be 350, and that would be not just for the teachers, but also administrators, anybody that travels and needs something a little bit more mobile and flexible. So we're also coming up for refresh for the applied science class at Havlick in the lower level. And they have a full one-to-one for it's a lab environment there. It's all desktops. And since we were going to replace those, and it's been about 6 years since we replaced that equipment, we're also looking at replacing all of the desktop workstations for the office staff. So those also haven't been replaced in quite a while. So as long as we were going to be purchasing for that lab, we looked at maybe putting some economy of scale into that and also replacing the desktops for the office staff. As well as replacing 100 tablets, not doing a full replacement of the 270 that are coming off lease, but minimizing that a little bit as the Chromebooks start to kind of pick up that slack for us. And those would be mostly in your K-1 classrooms as well as the LMCs. Estimated costs, I'm starting to work with the vendors on getting costs for these, would be about $400,000. So we'll see some savings based on the models and platforms that we're choosing now to move forward with.
Mike, I just had a question, and I'm not sure this is, maybe Dr. Gordon might be better mm-hmm. answer, but I'm looking at K-1 or even second and third graders. Does a teacher say why they wanted one-to-one? I mean, what the purpose was for that?
Not to be honest. I was just asking what they felt they needed to do their jobs.
Because I'm just trying to see mm-hmm. what why would we need one-to-one? I'm just trying to picture a first
well,
or second grade
class. Well, one of the things where it does benefit is when we're doing map testing. We map test kindergarten through. So to have that available technology in the classroom so they're not having to share and shuffle the devices around is a benefit. So just from a practical standpoint, a lot of the local assessments that we're doing or map assessments require a device. So it's a way to be able to provide them that without disrupting other classrooms and having to shuffle equipment around. As far as day-to-day instruction is concerned.
That's a couple times a year. I'm trying to picture, are we going to buy all these Chromebooks and are they, I guess,
are they gonna be used?
I just need to know what they're being used for. I mean, are they going to be sitting on a shelf most of the time? Are they going to be using them in small groups? And then at that point, I've got some other questions about that, you know. Dr. Gordon
yep.
question on you. But,
sure, but
so.
I can survey and get some baseline data for you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions on this slide? So Google, now this is a big part of the plan that we started putting in place a couple years ago. So just after spring break in 2014, we migrated all of the staff to Gmail. Mm-hmm. They also got Google accounts with that. But the primary focus when we originally did this was to replace our old Exchange server and bring in Gmail for our staff. The year after that is when we started to bring in the Chromebooks at Hadley, and all sixth grade through eighth grade students also got Google accounts with Gmail. And then Google accounts for level 3 went in place this year. So all level 3 students have a Google account. Only Franklin is actually piloting the Chromebooks, but all of those level 3 students have that. So we kind of phased that in over the last couple of years. And now for this coming year, since again we're going to be going Chromebooks instead of the traditional Windows-based laptops that we've had for years here, second and third graders will also get Google accounts, but they won't have Gmail with those accounts. They'll only have access to Google Docs and the apps, the educational apps that are also available through the Google platform. K-1 accounts wouldn't have Gmail, and they wouldn't have their own accounts. Kindergarten and first grade, what we've done for years is we basically have just a classroom account. So if you're a teacher, you have an account for your classroom. Mm-hmm. So students will only log into that account. It's generally pretty user-friendly for them. That's the same kind of system we've been using for years with the Windows-based laptops we have. The only difference now is they'll be using the Chromebook and accessing the Google ecosystem rather than our local network.
Like on the, you mentioned apps. Mm-hmm. Are those free or do we pay for some?
Some are free. At this point, we've only really been investing in the free ones. Mm-hmm. We're working with the digital literacy specialists, and they'll provide us recommendations for the apps that they feel would be appropriate. If there's a cost involved, of course, we'll budget for that. And we'll move forward accordingly.
Mike, just two quick questions. Clarification. We talked about this before. The junior high athlete, they're going to have the option of taking their Chromebooks home. They will be implement 1-1 at the elementary level for 2 through 5. They're going to stay at the.
They're going to stay here. Right? Mm-hmm. That's again the same system we've had here for years, where they're basically assigned to the classroom.
And then in your pricing for the lease for an annual fee, does that include the number pad model and all that, or is that the base model that we're all using here?
On the laptops?
Yeah, no, on the
Chromebooks?
Yeah, the Chromebooks.
Well, new Chromebooks come out every year, right. So the model that we have right here is probably not going to be the one we'll recommend for the coming year. We went with the Dell model last year. This year we may go with a different model. It just depends on what's best in class and what's the best value for the dollar.
And does that Dell or whatever model you choose, are you taking into consideration that survey and that you did the response to the survey of the other, and did I understand that right? Is that just for the laptops or is that for Chromebooks?
No, that's just for Chromebooks.
Chromebooks. So people wanted number pads.
No, that's for the teacher workstations for their laptops. The number pads weren't an option for the Chromebooks.
Okay. Are they an option for Chromebooks or no?
I haven't seen them on the phone. Okay. The full keyboard. They do have larger ones, the 13-inch, and those may, but we generally haven't been looking at those for student use.
Okay, thanks.
Mike, I would just off of, Joe made me think of this. They won't, in the elementary schools, they wouldn't take them home. Do you know how they would be, with the kid, with them, you know, with Think Tank now, with them moving throughout the building, mm-hmm. would they take the device with them?
They could. They could. So if they were going to a special, like the library or something like that, they could. I think one of the things that, when I met with the level 3 teachers at Franklin, was they liked the idea that the laptop staying in the classroom. They liked the idea of the Chromebook mm-hmm. staying in the room. I think that will be something that will evolve over time. But of course they could. They could take them out to the library or any other space.
If they went from literacy to math, they just leave the Chromebook in literacy. They move to math and use a different Chromebook.
Okay.
But then again, they're still logging on with their account. They're going to still see their profile, their settings. It doesn't really matter which kind of device they're using. So here are some of the benefits of Google and that platform. Not limited to these, but some of the highlights that fill in some efficiencies and some cost reductions for us. One of them being is a reduction in our server farm. That's something we've been, year after year, been able to reduce more and more. And part of that is because we don't have to worry about backup solutions. We don't have to worry about storage for students. Reduction in software licensing as well. So certain things, one of the other things I did with the digital literacy specialist is we looked at the list of licenses that we purchased, whether they're locally installed programs or even online services that we purchased, and we're starting to see some reductions in those because we just don't need them anymore. We don't need to install those anymore, and we don't need licensing for things like McAfee for security updates because that's all built into the Google ecosystem. Parent access, teacher collaboration with students is all much greater with this platform. Any parent can look at their student's work. As the parent of a fourth grader with a Google account at school, I love that. I mean, I'm able to log in to his account. I can see what he's working on. I can see his documents. I can see everything that he sees when he's at school. The other great thing about using Google is there's unlimited storage for documents, anything they create, Gmail. And all of this is free to education. So we could never provide as much access and as much storage as Google is giving us for free. Another thing we did this year is we did a couple audits. We brought in a couple third parties to first audit our Google domain. Since we built that almost 2 years ago, we just wanted to make sure we're following best practice, that we're getting the best bang for our buck there. And we had Amplified IT run an audit of our Google domain. They provided some suggestions, some things that we could turn on, turn off within our Google environment. As well as we did an internal network audit of our network. We have Heartland Business Systems come in, do an audit of our internal securities and practices, came out with an 83% score in there. They were finding mostly things like old defunct accounts, some old servers that were end of life, things like that we need to start to upgrade and migrate away from. CloudLock is a system that we were looking at this year, and we're just going to put it in place at the end of this year. We have a different program, but what that does is it scans our Google domain. So it will monitor and audit student documents, anything that might have something objectionable, profane, bullying, it will notify us of that. So it will also notify us of anything that's being sent out of our district that might not be appropriate. So it's a way for us to be able to proactively monitor and secure our internal documents and work. Teacher Dashboard is a program we use at Hadley, and that's mainly for teachers to be able to monitor what students are doing on their Chromebooks at any given time. So if they have this on their screen, they can see all of the desktops of all the Chromebooks that are actively working in their room. So they can also monitor from within their own classroom what all of their students are doing if that's how they choose to do it. And that would be something I think we'll also look at the grade schools for next year because there was some interest in that from the principals this year as well. Mm-hmm. Google Classroom is a tool that we use right now, and that's mainly for teachers to be able to group their students together, share documents more efficiently, but it's also the way that parents actually see their students work when they log in from home. So it organizes it a lot more concise. They can see by grade level or by subject matter, and quickly be able to go in and see that their students work for each class. And that's something that when I was at the a parent meeting in Hadley, parents had nothing but good things to say about that. They liked the way they were able to see their students work, and it was presented, and it was very easy for them to work through. And as well, we also have our internet content filter and firewall that's doing its job while we're here.
Is CloudLock on top of the our internet content firewall? It's separate
Correct.
From that?
Yeah, it
does. And that's just a Google?
Right. All the content filter really does is monitor and restrict websites. So if I were going to certain websites or trying to, that's all that content filter will monitor. Mm-hmm. The CloudLock will actually monitor the documents that are being created and shared within our network, which the content filter will not do. Future projects as we're looking forward beyond this coming summer. We're continuing to migrate a lot of our key services to cloud services like Skyward Finance and Student. We plan on doing this year. Destiny, which is our library database. So, again, it's a way to offload some of these local responsibilities that would require additional servers and manpower to be able to keep up to date. Projector refresh. We've gotten some pretty old projectors out there and displays. We're going to need to start looking at replacing some of those and upgrading those. Our voice server, which handles our phone system, was one of the things that came up on our infrastructure audit as being end of life. It's 6 years old now, so that's another system we'll need to upgrade. We plan to virtualize our server environment, which will also greatly reduce our need for these individual servers into kind of one big box, one big storage unit. And then also our backup also needs to be redesigned for the things that we store here, like student work, like teacher work and administrative work. So some other projects that we'll move towards as we kind of update all of our classroom technology, and we need to start looking at some other infrastructure here in the back. So for the next couple of years, we'll probably be looking at more of the infrastructure needs rather than the classroom needs. We'll pretty much have that model or this coming model in place for the next 7 years. Questions?
Go ahead. Yep.
Sorry, I didn't know if I should ask them along the way.
buildings down. So we talked about the internet content filter. So with Google, we have that. You know, when they're logged in through the internet at school, we have that. But if they're at home and they don't have those same filters, they can access whatever. Is there any concern, or have we had any concerns with students like downloading content from home, saving it to the Google Classroom, saving it to their Drive, things like that? I mean, is that
if they save to the Drive, then something like FogLock will find that.
Okay.
It will catch that. If they're surfing at home on their personal device, no, we're not.
Right,
we're not.
No, I know that. I more meant it's like downloading stuff. Mm-hmm. Then they come here and we have the filters on, but if they download it,
they right. If they download it and save it to their Drive, that's where we would look for a product like FogLock to be able to find that for us.
Okay. Is there a way they could save it where we couldn't find it?
And they're like the Drive.
Don't say it out loud.
No, not in their Drive.
They're
in
not.
Drive, we have access.
They're doing all
Drive or something like that. You know.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, these guys are smart. They're smarter than I am with this stuff. So, yeah. So if it did come in on a flash drive, we couldn't find it.
Yeah, right. That we don't scan. But anything that.
But
is
if they sent it to somebody on our network, it would show up in cloud.
If they shared it, yes.
If they shared it. They could show it to you, but they couldn't share it.
Unless they did this.
That kind of sharing?
Yeah.
No, you can't catch that with
that's a possibility.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yep.
One of my other questions. So the Chromebooks, if we're going to leave them in the classrooms for the elementary school, do we have stations to charge them? Is that going to be an additional cost to get that, or do we already have those?
No, we already have those. The cards that we currently use for storing the laptops will work for the Chromebooks as well.
Okay. Let's see. Well, another question is, why do we lease versus buy for Chromebooks?
Well, everything's kind of on a cycle, the way we're leasing it now. And this is a structure we put in place probably about 7 years ago. So it provides that placeholder in our budget. So we know that's the kind of money we're going to need to be able to replace it. Plus, things like these Chromebooks are really not designed to last that long. I mean, 3 to 4 years is about your life cycle. As a matter of fact, Google won't even support them after 5 years. And usually we won't get them right as they're going to market. Very rarely will we get them as they first come in. So that 3 years kind of gives us that point in the middle with that 5-year cycle that Google will actually support them. And after 3 years, these devices really aren't designed to last that much longer. Just for the physical construct, could be difficult for it after a few years.
Okay. What about as far as for the elementary school doing all this, is there going to be a lot more labor involved in getting them all set up? Have we accounted for that? Or
no, actually, that's one of the beauties of using Google. There's a lot less labor that goes into getting these configured and ready to deploy, especially if we did them last year at the junior high. The old laptops was much more labor-intensive, not just to actually deploy them, but just to create the images that we would wind up deploying onto them. So this is a much more efficient model than they used in the past.
And have we ever looked at having, I don't think we have in the district now, but like a technology integration specialist, someone that can work with the teachers and students so they, all the things they can use on the technology that
I think that's what our digital literacy specialists do.
Yes,
so they're the ones in the buildings every day. They're the ones that work with our teachers every day. And also aiding and integrating in.
So they're all trained in that, or?
Well, at least 2 of them are certified.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to jump in on your presentation, but Karen, if it's okay, that is something that we're talking about, Team 21, with all those teachers and the literacy specialists we have of, I forget the camps that they're called, and what can the teachers use, and bring the teachers together and train the teachers. And so Team 21 is talking about that, and how do we socialize the computer literacy amongst all the teachers. So mm-hmm. that is a topic, a bullet point in Team 21 that we're talking about. Using a literacy specialist, we brought people in to talk about how the system's software is used. So.
Mm-hmm. I noticed on here we have smart boards on our lease that's expiring, but I don't see them listed as our new technology. Are we getting rid of some smart boards?
Smart boards were one of the items on a 5-year lease, and usually when I'll do a 5-year lease, we won't get rid of them at the end of the lease. intend to continue to use those at least for a few more years. And next year we'll see another batch of about 72 that are also going to come off these to be staggered.
So do we own them now?
We own them now.
Okay. That was just their fault.
Yeah, that's a dollar buyout lease. So at the end of the term of the lease, we pay the dollar and we own it. With the smaller devices, those aren't a fair market value lease. So usually on those leases, we also tend to pay less. And the overall cost of the device, instead of having bought them outright, we bought them outright and we pay more. On the fair market value lease, we wind up over the term of the lease paying less for them. And then we're not having to deal with the disposal and the cost that goes along with that. The leasing company just takes them back.
Yeah. A couple more. The Hadley LNC getting tablets. I was curious why we have tablets in the LNC if everyone is Chromebook with a tablet. And that they carry with them.
I talked to Chris about that. And even though that's true, the tablet still offers a little different environment for students. He can do some different things. But instead of ordering the 100 to replace what he had, he was only looking at 40 to 50. So it would be a greatly reduced amount of tablets. And then Chris would plan on doing some different things with those tablets within his library.
How much? What's the? I had that same question. And to me, I guess for me, I maybe if you could let me know the cost of that. I just don't see the purpose to that. You know, just because he like wants to have them. I'm sorry, but we're putting these guys are carrying this around. They should be able to access anything he needs to.
Just to add to that, I think it's a cost versus benefits. If he needs them, there might be only six benefits, there might be 60 benefits. So if it's X number of dollars a year, you might as well on the other side of the ledger put what the benefits are. Because maybe
we can do that, sure.
Recording of the band in the music area or whatever, you know.
So and also the tablets he's looking at wouldn't be iPads. He's looking at the Google or the Android tablets, which are about half the cost.
Okay.
For what an iPad would be. So it's also, we'll see some savings there as well.
Stephanie, you had another question?
I know my last question was just kind of general, but with everything that happened with security last year and the updates you gave for the measures we put in place, I was wondering, and I don't know if that's appropriate to ask now or we want to save it for another time, but
no, go ahead.
I'm curious if we've had many breaches in security. Are we monitoring the measures that we put in place to make sure it's working better?
Sure. I mean, we work on the content filter and the firewall daily. We work with the digital literacy specialists on evaluating websites that are requested to be unblocked. So it's something that we do on a daily basis. And then when we're looking at other products like CloudLock or BetterCloud or some of these other tools that we can use to monitor our Google environment, we're always looking to improve that, update that. This environment changes all the time, almost hourly. So we're continually looking at better ways to be able to monitor, secure, and then be more proactive
about
it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Were you looking at Teacher Dashboard, or do we have that?
We're using it.
We're using it at Hadley
the entire year.
I would think that that's going to help a lot. As long as the students know that, that should help a lot. Yeah.
Right, and I think what some of the teachers will actually do is they'll put it up on their smartphone. So yeah. Not only do they see it, but every kid in the classroom sees it.
Yeah, that's kind of a best practice. Mm-hmm. You do that, and then you don't have as many problems. So.
Is there a cost, Mike, at some point for the use of the cloud? I know that 7 years ago when you wrote this plan, now we're rolling off the three-year rollout, you talked about reducing the cost of the servers and upkeep and all that. And I'm just thinking about my own work environment and that, that there's some cost, at least in my work environment, for migrating everything.
And business is different.
Yeah.
Even with Google, there's a cost if you're a business. But right now for education, there's no
cost. It's still zero. That's great to know.
And it's one of the reasons we went with that over Microsoft's product, because at the time, Microsoft, there's a cost that goes along with Office 365.
Yeah.
My dad always says, you don't get something for nothing. I guess is there, it's the whole, I'm guessing Google has it free for education, so we buy Chrome.
Buy apps.
I think there's a bigger thing involved. They're training kids on Google.
That's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing.
They're trying to make it so when the kids get off on their own, when you start hiring
them
out of college.
It's a branding. But we know West and other high schools are all Google environments, so there's not a lot of choice.
There's many that are different to Google.
Yeah. But West doesn't.
West uses iPads.
They use iPads, but it's a Google environment. Yeah, so it's Google Docs, Google Docs, Forms, Google Scan, Google Mail, Gmail.
And your children will shame you about
that. Yeah, go ahead.
We're going 1-to-1, K through 5, more or less. And is there going to be, from a Wi-Fi standpoint, from the users? What is the outlook on that? What are you doing to make sure that they have the Wi-Fi capability throughout?
Well, we put the Wi-Fi infrastructure in 3 years ago, might be 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's another lease we're going to see expiring next year, just for the infrastructure that we have for our Wi-Fi. And so far, it's been performing well. And we've been adding to it as we needed to, particularly at Hadley. So we're kind of at the point where we have pretty much an access point in every space, every room. So we've been kind of expanding a little bit as we've seen the need and where the capacity has been.
So you're going to need to expand it to K-5 then?
We'll probably do a little bit, but I think at K-5, we've got almost full coverage in every classroom. And maybe we add 10 to 12 a year to different areas of the buildings. And usually I try to have at least that many on hand every year. It's part of one of the things I build into my budget. And I think after the end of that light leasing cycle, we'd like to be able to keep that infrastructure in place for a couple more years. But I think then we may be looking at having to replace that and build a little bit more capacity in the wireless. But I don't think we've seen that point yet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Eric, I had one more question.
Go ahead.
I was starting to think about this. If you had one-to-one devices, how do you charge all these things?
Well, in the classroom,
we have a
cart in each classroom. Mm-hmm. It's a storage cart. It locks. It'll house about 20 of the Chromebooks. They can be charged in there. And usually at the end of the day, teachers have the kids put them away. They plug them in. They charge overnight. And then in the morning, they come out. And these usually hold a charge for the entire day.
Mm-hmm. And do we? I mean, we have these right now in all of our classrooms.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So kindergarten, that we made.
Pretty much all, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so we've got plenty of cards. That was part of the rollout 3 years ago. Is we made sure we had enough carts to go around, and now we can fit more devices in a cart than we could with the laptop. So with the laptop, we could only get 10 in comfortably. Mm-hmm. Now we can get as many as 20 devices in comfortably. Mm-hmm. These are some of the clutter in the classroom.
This isn't really a question for Mike. Mike's just presenting the plan. And mm-hmm. I wasn't on the board when we developed the technology plan, but I guess one thing I still wonder. This move to go to one-to-one, I still personally, and I still hear it a lot from parents, we talk about how we want to use technology to enhance education, but I think in some instances it feels like it's becoming the educator. I worry a little bit about this one-to-one, especially in the K-1 grade. Kindergarten, especially, are they going to sit on a device all day? I mean, I think that's my biggest struggle at home is getting my kids off device, mm-hmm. off devices. They certainly know how to use them, but I don't know. I mean, that's like I said, that's not even really directed mm-hmm. at Mike, but
is that a conversation that's happening in the schools?
Yeah,
other districts aren't one-to-one, and I don't know. What I guess. We piloted the Chromebooks this year at Franklin. Have we seen huge academic gains for those students that have had one-to-one devices versus their counterparts in the other schools that did not? That's kind of pushing us. Especially in the, I can see it more in fourth and fifth grade, but for second and third graders, is there a need that all 100 second graders in the school need to be on a device at the same time, or could you more have, 50? Maybe you, I don't know.
Okay.
And maybe I'm, like I said, I wasn't involved in the board when mm-hmm. we discussed this.
But you are now.
But it was.
I don't know what the logic. That
no, I think it's a good question. But I think it goes back to Mike when you rolled this out, when you laid out, and you went to teachers to say, here's the plan moving forward, and then, even reintroducing the question, and Kurt asked a good question about the K-1, what's the relative value? Or you said it, Joe, what's the relative value? But, I think your question is something that the teachers have been asked, and looking at their curriculum design, their instructional practices, all those things, I would assume that this is something that comes from parents a lot, is to make sure that there is a balance of use. And I think I've heard teachers talk about that, that it's a tool for education. It's not a replacement, you know, for them, what they're doing.
Well, I guess that's where I come from. It's a tool that we do need to use in the mm-hmm. classroom, but do we need to have
That's what I was trying to get at, is how...
That's a question for the teachers.
It's easy enough to move 10 Chromebooks for a lesson. I mean, I'm not totally sold on this either, and I'm not sold on the devices, and that's why I asked the question before. I'm going to go ahead and authorize the money to be authorized for this. Is I want to know, well, what are these being used for? How often are they being used, and do we really need it? Again, it's nice that, you know, somebody at Hadley wants to have, you know, 50 tablet devices, but we've already migrated to all this, and again, this is why we're here, is to oversee money.
And so,
because my kids say that they want something and it costs money, I have the right to say no. Mm-hmm. We're not going to spend that money. So,
since I sit on Team 21, that is a question that's being batted around mm-hmm. in that committee. and to be fair, I think, to be open and transparent about it, there are people at that table that have the exact same sentiments, and there are some other people, mm-hmm. other mm-hmm. teachers on the other side of the line that says, this is the most powerful thing that I had. And some of them will also say, I can see the benefit, but I don't know how to use it. And so over the last 3 months, the group has been working together to try to crystallize that use of technology for benefit at the Team 21 level. And then, you know, how are we going to roll that out? I'll use it again, socialize that out into the teachers and into the other schools. So it is a conversation that's being wrestled with, formed, and
that's
coalesced
good.
Around in the Team 21 with principals and teachers and parent groups or parent members and the board member. So you guys are exactly right. It's I think everybody is having that conversation, and they're just trying to coalesce around the most efficient, best way to move something that's rolled out fairly new into the next generation and to mature it into a teaching tool, not a...
I think that's there. To Patrick's point, and Patrick, I think you maybe raised this in the finance area with looking at the removal of fees and waiting for the forecast 5 to actually see what those kinds of things do before we make that decision. I guess for me, if they're struggling with it at Team 21. To me, it's putting the cart before the horse. Why are we authorizing all this stuff? Because now what we've done is now we've put it in there. Now we've said, well, it's there. So you either use it, or maybe some of those teachers decide not to use it or whatever. But to me, before we're authorizing, it's a lot of money, say, you know, whatever, ends up being $500,000. But I'd rather get these conversations hashed out before we start authorizing money for this stuff. So I have some real reservations on this.
The purpose to bring it with this, you know, again, the three meetings is to do exactly this, which is good. Again, for audience purposes, to clarify, it comes to the board. Lots of questions then that Mike goes back to vet, works, talks to the teachers. Obviously, there's some planning going mm-hmm. on and discussions with Team 21. And then an potentially adjusted recommendation comes back to the board.
And to be clear, this isn't the budget request here. This was just a technology. Right. I just don't want to mix the two. This isn't part of the three-step process. But it's a good question.
I have one question, Mike. I think last winter you presented us, when you and Bob presented a technology roadmap. If you can kind of throw that back together, because we're talking about future projects, and I'm sure Becky, you touched base with Mike on the forecasting, but. We have Dave's, if we can have yours and something like that. And it's one of those things that it's not contracted, but we can look at those numbers mm-hmm. and see how those impacts are. So if you can just refresh that.
Sure. Every year I'll do this presentation, a much broader one, but then I'll bring another one to the finance committee that actually has the budget numbers and more solid budget numbers for that.
And that's looking forward to, the void. We have to do it in 2 years because I can't hold it any longer.
Kurt and Stephanie, that's where we'll also start that conversation about the rationale why. We'll start that at the finance committee around that K-1-2, the why there. I think that's a great place for it, but I appreciate you guys bringing it up here so we can have it ready for that conversation at the finance committee.
Right. And this is maybe I've been on the porch long, but I don't want to make it strictly about numbers because the teachers are doing a ton of good work in the team.
Absolutely.
I think they're really in the midst of formulating what they want to do. So at some point, I think there's going to be a message that says this is how we want the structure of the technology to go. And I don't want to speak for them because it's their program, but they are working to see the most efficient way to use the technology as it is today.
Thank you.
I was just going to say, for moving forward, for information presented, I think it would be helpful to see, for the Chromebook rollout, what if you did an implementation one-on-one for just level 3, what's that cost? And then if you did level 2 at a replacement similar to what the iPads and laptops are, kind of like it's like 50% of the classroom, like how much would that cost to just replace level 2 with what we have and do level 3 one-to-one?
Board okay with that? Just gotta break it down a little bit more. Okay, Mike, that's something that's doable.
We just do it for unit cost and assume that you get the same bundling of.
Okay,
but there's no.
Joe, do you have a comment?
Yeah, the only thing is, and this kind of goes with Stephanie was asking. I would like to see it like per unit. You can cut 10 units or whatever, because at the end of the day. Brought this up, you don't want them sitting, you don't want 10 units sitting, dust, collecting dust, and the other 10 getting used. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for. And if that rollout needs to happen full one-on-one after the teachers get a better understanding and say, hey, this is what we want 100%, then that's the board, that's what we should do at that point. But not, we shouldn't jump-start it. We should let it come organically from them.
Okay.
I want one thing that would be, like, for Team 21, while you guys are wrestling with all this, like, I would be curious what's happening at the Ben Franklin level 3 classrooms versus where they do have one-on-one versus our other elementary schools. Are we doing things different?
Like, how are they using them?
Yeah, how are they using them?
Exactly.
Otherwise, there's no point.
A good observation to kind of see, like, that there's a perfect example of where they do have it one-on-one and where mm-hmm. they don't, in the same grade, they're doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So.
Good?
Good. Yeah. Mike, thank you very much.
Yep. Mike, nice job. Thank you very much. Very
great
well done.
Mike.
Yeah, very well done.
Okay, a discussion item, transfer of funds from the O&M to the Capital Projects Fund.
So this is the $1.5 million that needs to be transferred for the remaining work at Churchill Elementary that Jack was speaking about earlier. Again, $598,250 would come from our buildings and ground budget. And then $1,054,028 would be transferred from our fund balance, which meets the discussion that we had last February around the board, where the board gave clear criteria on how much from each account needed to be used. Becky, anything that you would add?
These four documents were circulated at the finance committee on January 11th. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't get the last meeting, I brought back tonight for the second for board discussion, and we'll have a public hearing and take board action next week.
Thank you.
Okay. So the public hearing, that's going to be at 7. That'll be right before that.
Yeah, we'll just start the public hearing, and then we'll go into the regular board meeting. Board members, questions?
No, just to clarify, I know that it was helpful that Becky provided this for Paul in his summary, but that the transfer is the result of the construction, but also I think Jack referred to this too, but some of the cost savings that were realized. So where that all worked exactly as it had been expected. Yep.
As far as I can tell.
Correct.
Great.
Track and back done.
Good. That's good.
There you go,
Becky.
All right. The only thing that I listened to, Stephanie and I were not on the board at the time. We were critical of it being done that way. It's done. So, I wouldn't have done it that way, but that's how it's been done. The money's got to be transferred to pay the debt. So,
Right. And when you say done, not the money transfer, but the classroom.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
But again,
anybody?
Good budgeting to be able to realize those savings. That was helpful. That's good. No, thank you. So this comes back next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. All right. We have action items under the consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like an item to be removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? And just, again, we have an update on the personnel report at our desks, too, if you hadn't seen that. Okay. Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes item 1, human resources personnel report, employment recommendations, resignations. Item 2, finance, facility, and operations. School district payment order, January 20th, 2016 to February 2nd, 2016. Item 3, other matters, approval of board meeting minutes, January 23rd, 2016, Board of Education special workshop meeting, January 25th, 2016, Board of Education regular meeting, and the January 25th, 2016, Board of Education meeting, closed minutes.
Motion. Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Buckle?
Yes.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you. Superintendent recommendations. At the January 25th, 2016 meeting, the board discussed the administration's supplemental pay committee recommendations. May I have a motion to approve the supplemental pay recommendation as presented?
Second.
Discussion? Any comment? All right. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mr. Buckle?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Board policy revisions. This is the second reading and adoption. At the January 25th, 2016 meeting, the board discussed the administration's update to board policy. May I have a motion to approve board policy revisions as presented?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? Right. The only question I had was, the only one that came up that we had some discussion around was the new policy under instruction, which was at high school credit. And I was blanking on whether or not there was anything that we had that was straightforward, right? It was that aligned to high school if they so choose.
Right. Okay. And you shouldn't feel bad about that. We spent an equal amount of time in policy.
Yeah.
I'm wrestling with that, trying to make sure we understood it. Yeah. And I had to do it.
Well, we still had that question about private versus public.
So if the I asked the group, thank you for bringing that up, that private school would have to sign off on their own waiver. So every school would have to sign off it and say, okay, if it, I'm blanking on the high school, private schools, but they would have to say, District 41, we want to engage into this with you because five of your students go here, but they would have to pass a similar policy that we would have to. So, yeah, I did ask, and some people have talked about it. So each of the high schools would have to take that upon themselves and then reach out to us, and then we would decide if we wanted to engage with them.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, you're welcome. I just want to make sure we close that out. Okay?
Yep.
So did we even find, weren't we going to find out if Wes was even... Yeah.
They are.
They are.
They are. They're engaging in it right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Buchholz?
No.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Okay, item 3, last one, authorization to create the 2016-2017 budget, Board Administrative Procedure 410-AP, Operational Services. Timeline for development and approval of budget specifies annually that the Board of Education adopt a resolution directing the superintendent to prepare the budget for the next fiscal year. May I have a motion to adopt the resolution directing the superintendent to prepare the budget for the fiscal year 2016-2017 that reads, Whereas the Board of Education of Glen Allen School District 41, DuPage County, Illinois, has specified in Policy 410, Operational Services, Fiscal and Business Management, that the superintendent shall present to the school board a tentative budget with appropriate explanation, and that this budget shall represent the culmination of an ongoing process of planning for the fiscal support needed for the district's educational program, and whereas the timeline for the development and approval of budget adopted in Administrative Procedure 410-AP specifies the Board of Education adopts a resolution directing the superintendent to prepare the budget for the next fiscal year, now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Education of Glen Allen School District 41, DuPage County, Illinois, as follows, that the superintendent is hereby authorized to prepare the budget for fiscal year 2016-17. Do I have a motion?
Motion,
Mr. Ellis, second, Mr. Bochensky. Isn't that fancy, Becky?
It's very fancy.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Buckle?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Elter?
Yes.
Mr. Bochensky?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. Next is items for consideration for future agenda. Any item board members wish to present for future discussion? For future agenda. I know that we've already talked about the March 8th meeting being pretty full. And then the meeting after that is what, the 22nd? Is that correct? 21st? Yeah, 21. Okay. So anything, again, if you don't have something, please, you know, feel free, I mean, not to put anybody on the spot, but email me and we'll add that to the list.
I don't know if it's an agenda item or when this could fall in, but Mrs. Rath's question at the beginning of the meeting made me think of this, but our AEC program, wondering if that's something that we could get an update on. I don't know if that should, if we can tie it,
could be an update.
Tie with something else, but I do... Surprisingly, you get a lot of questions about it. I mean, lately the rumor mill is that we're eliminating it. Is that true? I don't know. Why do we have it for literacy? We don't have it for, or have it for math. Okay. We don't have it for literacy. So I think, and I know a couple years ago there were talks of it possibly phasing out. So I don't know if that's,
we can, a, that's a good agenda.
An agenda item or an update to the board on
maybe a superintendent report.
Yeah, we'll find a place for it.
Yeah, we'll find
it. In the coming,
yeah, I like that.
Okay. Coming weeks.
And I was going to say along those lines, because I've been getting a lot of questions on special ed, so I know we've had a series, you know, we've kind of gone through everybody. I kind of like to maybe see if at some point in the future we can maybe get an update on special ed.
We actually have that scheduled for March 21st.
Did we do special ed? We just did special ed, so that's revised. That's
an old. Does this need to be revised?
Yeah, yeah. Michelle and Karen were here just, it feels like
it was earlier
a couple months ago.
Well, let's check on it.
Yeah, let's check though.
Maybe we can move it out, I think.
Yeah, in the fall.
It was in the fall.
They were here in the fall. So I know the talk was we would have another update later. I mean, maybe we could have an update.
Maybe we can push it out. Push it out. So we'll look. Yeah.
But I think it would be good to get an update.
Okay. So those two, AEC and.
We need to hear from, like, for.
You can pass 3 months on me.
That's why I stated this to my father.
We'll have those two.
All right. Thank you. Under other. I had sent out a note, thanks for responses. Spellapalooza is coming up on March 4th, which is for those who don't know, the big annual fundraiser for the Glen Allen Children's Resource Center, which is something that District 41 supports with space over at Lincoln. And I know there's also discussion at Churchill as well. But at the PTA Council meeting this morning, for the part that I was at, I know that Churchill has a team that's going to be in there, Hadley has a team, and I think Lincoln has a team of students. And so I had put an email out to the board to see if we might want to put a team together, but I had no takers. So
you mean maybe us?
But I meant us, yes. Like a little Kurt did not email me back.
So just so you know on that topic, I think that people that spell words only one way lack creativity.
Oh, there you go. So that's why you didn't join the club. Anyway, but some of the response was, and I emailed Amy, who's coordinating this, Amy Waters, is that they still need sponsors. You know, they have to have it's $500 to mount a team, and so if board members want to show their support individually, and let them know that you're a board member, I'm sure they'd be more than happy to have that. So I'm going to reach out to the schools and see what they need, but on our own, and then to attend.
And you'll let us know if they need.
Yeah, I'll find out and let you know. Yep. Okay.
I have something under other if you're in your job.
Yeah, I'll go and then I'll circle back to my last one. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, in the interest of transparency, I want to make sure that I quell any rumors. Sometime over the next 2 weeks, it is highly likely that I will be putting a for sale sign in front of my house. And in doing that, what we're doing is kind of testing the waters right now. A year and a half ago, we bought a piece of property out in the Southwest. We had intended to build a home. We have not even put a shovel in the dirt yet. But this is just the time to see, you know, what can happen. Rest assured, I've already secured a place to rent. If, in fact, it sells, it'll stay in a district, so it'll still be here. But you may see a sign go up, and I just didn't want anybody thinking that meant that I was leaving right away, because I'm not. So.
All right. Thank you. Good luck with your contractor.
Yeah, we'll see with that.
Any
see
other?
Jack is available, actually. Yeah. Once we're done using them, I'm thinking,
Yeah. Pluses and minuses. Just quickly, I know a lot of the new neighborhood restaurants support various fundraisers for field trips and things. Noodles and Company on Wednesday night is doing it for a Lincoln field trip, so if you feel like you want some Noodles and Company, just
there
go on Wednesday night.
Wednesday
night. Lunch at Lincoln and a little bit of their morning.
And is the one along Roosevelt Road?
They'll run along Roosevelt Road.
Okay. Sounds good. Just a follow-up, I know that Jeff Cooper, Jeff brought this up. There was some question around cell phone. I know that he and I spoke. This was one meeting ago, but the interim in between. And at the end of the meeting last time, Drew brought up the question to get clarification around it. I know that board members received an email from Paul just to, again, clarify whom is on the list of cell phones and why, and that in fact we went to cell phone, paying for cell phone an amount X percent X dollars from a previous practice, which had been that those administrators and/or folks that needed to be connected actually were provided phones, which was more costly. So we went to use your own smartphone, cell phone, whatever it is, and there'd be a percentage paid based on you needing to be available. One other piece to that, too, is when we had a few years ago, and actually just recently, some really bad weather that came up very, very quickly. The lack of access to landline was a problem, and so having that access became even more important. And so one was cost savings to go to the payment of the cell phone amount, and then the other one was that just the nature of the activity around here and just being available. But we did say, I think, as a board, at least some of us, as we get into discussions around the budget, certainly all that is part of the conversation.
And I would just add that, you know, Joe brought this up in during the TRS conversation. He put that piece out there. So it's something that I've been looking into, seeing what is that average rate, where can we go at, where can we end up with it. But we will be bringing that back during that budget conversation, starting again with the finance committee and then moving from there. But it's something, you know, that was brought up a while back, again, brought up by a community member as well. So it's something that I'm looking at internally, seeing what can we do with that stipend.
Thank you. Other?
I have one more other. I had another thought, not to circle back on technology, but I'm going to.
Okay.
It came to my head as I was sitting here, but I think, you know, the one thing that I kind of get worried about is that if using technology as to enhance education is one thing, but I just want to, I think in we really should be evaluating the pilot at Franklin to make sure it's being used to enhance what we're doing in the classroom, because I have heard from parents, and sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, it's actually been Franklin parents that I've heard from, mostly on this issue, that feel as if their students, if they're if they actually understand the content are kind of above average, like they understand their needs can easily be met. It seems like they're spending a lot of time on the computers, kind of self, you know, as we talk about like self-directing their education, but I just wonder, you know, the ease of having the computers there and the ease of, you know, it's easy to differentiate to students when you have a computer because you can say, well, go to this level or this level on this program. But at the same time, we're also losing that human interaction and the learning as a group. And I just worry, you know, it's a slippery slope that we're going down, and I just want to make sure we're truly evaluating what's happening in our classrooms mm-hmm. that we don't.
I think it's really, it's. I mean, like you're saying, it's really top of the mind, and certainly we're not alone as a district. We've been invited to, but also inviting other districts to see what are you doing? How are you using one-to-one? Or, you know, two-to-one even, those type of things. So it's, it's definitely a conversation being had.
Discussion, but, you know, the extension goes to Apple, too, right? I mean, how are they using it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, yeah, I think it's across the board.
It shouldn't stop at Ben Franklin. Let's get the feedback.
Yeah.
Okay.
But thank you for that. Yep. It's good. All right, upcoming meetings, February 22nd, 2015. We'll have the public hearing on the fund transfer. Thank you, Nancy. At 7 o'clock, and then we'll go immediately into our meeting with our new time here at the Central Services Office. March 7th, 2016, regular Board of Education meeting at 7 p.m. Again, February 22nd, we're scheduled for academic update. Thank you, Karen. Looking forward to that. And then March 7th, regular Board of Education meeting, 7 p.m., Central Services Office. May have a motion to adjourn to closed session to adjust the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Clark?
Yeah.
Mr. Elder?
Yes.
Mr. Elder?
Yes.
Mr.
Buckle?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. The board will not be taking action when it returns from closed session. I want to thank all of you who are watching live stream. Thank you very much. And for community members who are here tonight, thank you very much for being here.